about the greatness of the world which awaits us, the spiritual worlds of God. And in fact, Baha'u'llah mentions that if ever the glory of the next life was revealed to the extent of a needle's eye, then man would commit suicide. In the same way that if a child knew what a small place is living in and what a vast place is awaiting him, that child, you couldn't live there, you would have a revolution there. Really. Wouldn't want to live there. But God, the same God which has not given the child a capacity to appreciate that period, is completely ignorant about it. We are the same in that sense. Because we will never be able to know our soul. In fact, there is a passage in Islam which says, if you want to know God, you should know yourself. They have asked Baha'u'llah, what does this mean? He says it means that when you look at yourself, you will find everything you have in your body is a manifestation of the soul. For instance, your eyesight is a manifestation of the soul in the body. Your hearing is a manifestation of the soul. All your senses are the manifestations of the soul in the body. Your brain is a manifestation of the soul in the body. But he says, your heart, which loves, is a manifestation of the soul in your body. But he says, if you add all these manifestations together, the sum total does not become the soul. And then he says, what is the soul? And then he says, if you live as long as thousands of years, and if all the peoples of the world put their thoughts together, they shall never know what that soul is. And he says, when you reach to that conclusion that you will never understand your soul, the reality of the soul, the essence of your soul, then you will say to yourself, how can I ever know the essence of my God who has created that soul? And you realize your impotence to recognize the essence of God. And he says, when you reach to that stage, the knowledge of God has dawned on you. This is when you begin to know God, when you realize that you will never know him. Impossible to know the essence of God. The essence of God is hidden from the eyes of men. We can never reach it. In fact, Baha'u'llah mentions that manifestations of God have no understanding of the essence of God. Because if they did, they would be partners with him. The manifestations of God have no access to the essence of God. You know, you read some of the passages that Shoghi Effendi has translated in English. He says, 10,000 Moses is thunderstruck, I'm paraphrasing his words, at the Sinai of God's revelation, not knowing his essence. And 10,000 prophets as great as Jesus are dismayed at this thought of not thou, mine essence, thou shalt never know. This is the call they get from God. By my essence thou shalt not know. Baha'u'llah mentions that 10,000 prophets as great as Jesus stand dismayed at the threshold of God, hearing this voice, thou shalt never know my essence. Now this indicates that the essence of God is beyond the comprehension of anything. Can never rise to that. He is the creator, and the creator must always stand above his creation. If it was, then we would be equal with him. If the mind could ever grasp anything, it means you are equal with that thing. You can only understand something which is either below you or above, or on the same level as you. You can never understand something above you. It's impossible. So now, Baha'u'llah says, this is the meaning. When you realize that you cannot know your own soul, the essence of your soul, then you can say, well, how can I know the essence of my God who has created my soul? Impossible. Now we go a little bit further. Let me take you a little further. Now, what time do we close this session, Mr. Chairman? 12. What time is it now? Oh, yes. 12. But you can't carry on. You mean the first session is going till 12 o'clock? You are very great people. You mean you can listen to all this? Well, anytime you get... There's no break between it, no. Yeah, all right. Well, we'll see. If I see you yawning, and then I'll say, all right, we'll have a break. actually, if anybody wants to have a little doze off or something, or go to a little bit of sleep, go and sit in the back rows, because you can never see them. That's what they are doing there probably now, in the back rows. Now, I will come back to your questions, if I may. If you just wait till I finish this subject, you might find your answer, your questions are answered, probably, because we haven't even touched upon the subject. Well, now, friends, we come to another similarity here between the embryo and the soul. And that is that when a child is born, it can bring with him whatever it has. It cannot bring anything that it hasn't. He just brings with him whatever it has. And in fact, in one of his tablets, Baha'u'llah says, if you needed anything else in this world, I would have given it to you there, the womb of the mother. Now, it's the same thing with the soul. The soul can take with him whatever it has, but you can't take with you anything which is bad, because bad does not exist in itself. It has no existence. Now, don't take me wrong and say that I said you have 1 cent or you have $1. That's a very small amount of money. This is the meaning of poverty. But whatever you have is positive, and that's what you can take with you. A murderer, for instance, is a person who has impoverished his soul. Well, he can take with him a little bit of good. A saint is a person who has got a lot of good qualities and perfections, and he carries with it to the next life. And therefore, each one of them is like having a capital. You begin your life with a capital. One is a very small capital, one is a large capital. And everyone grows in the spiritual worlds of God. There is no such thing as eternal damnation. Well, there are some souls which we know are diseased in this life, and this is the only one which God has indicated will not be forgiven, and that is the souls of the covenant breakers. In the Christian theology, it is those who sin against the Holy Ghost. And I may, if there is chance, I will explain to you really what is a covenant breaker, as we Baha'is talk about it in this in nature, looking at nature. Not to look at the philosophy of covenant breaking, because we have no time for it in the faith, but nature. Again, as I said, you can look at nature and find out these things. You can find out what covenant breaking is in nature. Now, we don't go into that subject now, but maybe I'll make a note of it here and sometime we can bring it up. So you see, every soul begins its spiritual life depending on its own qualities and perfections that it has acquired in this life. And this is why Baha'u'llah says that in the next life, the souls will be graded. We will be separated, each one of us, in accordance with his own accomplishments in this life, will attain a certain position, a certain grade, a certain level. And he says those who are on a high level will encompass those who are on a lower level, and will completely understand them and will encompass them. And those who are on a lower level will not understand anything about those who are on a higher level. And their life in relation to them, to those who are on a higher level, is like non-existence. Now, this exactly applies in nature. Exactly. You look at nature. You will find God has created in this nature great many levels of creation. First of all, there are several kingdoms. There is the mineral kingdom, there is the vegetable kingdom, there is the animal kingdom, there is the kingdom of man. And yet within each one of these kingdoms there are grades. Look at the animal kingdom. There are so many grades. On one end of the scale, you come across a creature like a worm, for instance. A worm is an animal. And on the other end of the scale, you come across the intelligent animals. And in between, there are enormous number of animals of different degrees, you see. And God seems to love this different levels. He loves to have this difference in his creation. We may not love it. I often say to myself, really, if we were God, we would have... it's a pity to, for instance, look at creatures like a mouse, for instance. What a terrible thing to be a mouse instead of being a man. Can you imagine he could have been a man? But it's a mouse. Now, God still likes this. He likes the mouse. He likes to have a mouse and he likes to have a man. He likes to have different grades. And it's the same thing in the spiritual worlds of God. We are going to be graded. And the life of a worm in relation to the life of another high intelligent animal is like death in relation to life. Really. But it has its life. It's not dead. The worm is not dead. It has life. But its life in relation to the life of a dog, for instance, is like death in relation to life. And so it is the same thing we understand in the spiritual realms, that the souls will be graded in accordance with what qualities we have acquired. As I told you, we cannot take bad things with us to the next life. But whatever good things we can take, those good things will determine the level in which we are going to be. Now, another important question, which again we can find it from nature and looking at the writings, of course. As I mentioned before, we must look at these two things always. And from that we learn a lot of things. Is that when you look at where is the next life? Where is the next world? Now, if you want to know that, look at nature. Nature will answer you. When you look at the child in the womb of the mother, we said that the embryo, remember, growing in the womb of the mother and the soul are counterparts of each other. When you look at the child in the womb of the mother, where is he when he's growing in the womb world? Where is he? He's here. Isn't he? He's in this world, really. The distance is very little. There is only a barrier which prevents him from being in this world. But he's here. He's carried with his mother around. Have you ever seen in a farm an egg breaking and a chicken comes out? Where was the chicken before the egg breaks? It was there. But it couldn't realize it itself until the shell breaks. So Baha'u'llah tells us that the next world is here. It's closer to us than we can ever imagine. But it is closed before our eyes. And as I mentioned before, Baha'u'llah says if we could only perceive to the extent of a needle's eye the greatness and the glory of the next life, then we would want to commit suicide to get there. So you can see here how the next life, the next world, is just beside us. And then there is another thing we learn from the child in the womb of the mother. And that is this, that once the child is growing in the womb of the mother, there are many, many people who are involved in caring for that child. The mother is the first person who really is enabling the child to grow. The father, the mother, the relatives, the doctors, the nurses, the community, all of them are paying attention and working hard for enabling that child to grow once it is in the womb of the mother. And we are told it's the same thing in this life in relation to the holy souls which have passed away. They are the cause of all the growth and development which takes place in this life. But you remember I was saying to you, it's a one-way communication. They encompass us, they help us, they inspire us in ways that we have no way of understanding it. Baha'u'llah mentions that martyrs of the faith will produce such an effect upon the growth and development of this world, that although that he says that even though that it takes place rarely, it will produce its tremendous results in this life. It's just like the care, the attention, the love which the parents, the community has for the child growing in the womb of the mother. But as I mentioned to you, we cannot take with us into the next life anything which is bad, because bad does not exist in its own outward sense. So the souls which are gone on in the next life, everything they can do to us is for our good. They have no bad things. They cannot influence us in a bad way. They can only influence us in a good way. And if it is anything which we want, which is bad for us, they can't give it to you. They can only give you what is good for you. And what is good for you sometimes may be sufferings. Maybe it is sufferings. The more our souls suffer, the more it becomes ready to absorb spiritual powers to itself. Suffering in the path of God. Bearing those sacrifices we do, whatever realm it may be, in whatever field, you sacrifice something. You give up your time. You're tired, but you give up your time. You go and teach the people. You go and promote the faith. But you go through a great deal of hardship. That is good for the soul. That enables the soul to grow. And those, the concourse on high, those holy souls which are passed away from this life, they will assist us if we walk in the right way. But as soon as you want to go in the wrong way, they cannot assist you, because they cannot influence us in a bad way. Now I am going to now go into another aspect of the soul. And maybe before I do that, so far we can go on and on and talk about this quite a lot. But I think we have got an idea here. Maybe it's not a bad thing at this point, that if you had any questions about what I have said, which you have not understood it, maybe we can talk about it now. And then we will go to another aspect of the soul, which is very important. Because all these things that we have said so far about the soul coming to us from the worlds of God, we said, from the spiritual realms, we said that the soul has to acquire qualities and perfections here. We said how everything in this life has a counterpart in the spiritual world. Anything physical is a counterpart of something spiritual. We discussed all these things. And there we were able to get some idea, only an idea, an impression of what the soul is and its qualities and powers are. But now, and we said that the purpose of life so far is to acquire qualities and perfections. But there is a greater purpose in our creation, far, far greater from acquiring qualities and perfections. Far greater. And again, in order to understand that, I'll take you to nature again. But before we enter into this subject, let us see if there is anything so far which you want to comment about or question. Now, I'm not referring to those people who are sitting in the back row, probably asleep. But that's a place if you want to rest, you know, that's a good place. We have this game in Europe. When we have classes, we often say, now, look here, go into the back row. It's a good place to be. Right. Well, it seems to me there is no... Yes? Pardon?
When one person dies and then their soul goes on and then it's graded level,
yes,
put on a different level, is the higher grade the more chance you might be put back to work in this world as a servant?
I don't know. One thing we do